Don't you just hate when you get stuck by the side of the road or in a parking lot because your battery's dead? Anybody ever have that happen before? Of course you have. And when that happens, you want to make sure that you got somebody that can give you a jump, or you call AAA or something like that, and you're lost if you don't have a set of these, aren't you? A set of jumper cables to help you do that. But even if you have a set of these and you don't have the know-how, then you're still in trouble. That's why Mike found that video for us today, so that you'll all be good when you go out shopping today or whatever you do and get stuck by the side of the road. You can get your car jumped. I'm pretty good with a set of jumper cables. I also used to keep a set of tools in my car. I figured, well, you know, if I get broken down, I can have tools for somebody else to use. I can pull off to the side of the road, I can pop the hood, I can open my toolbox nice there on the engine and just kind of flag down, maybe show a little leg or something to get somebody to pull over to the side to help me get my car. My daughter's giving me a grimace when she saw that. She's like, that's gross, Dad. Somebody to pull over to help me to use the tools to fix it, but I do know how to use my jumper cables in case that happens. Today we're starting a new message series that I'm calling Jump Start, because as we begin in ministry together, we need to begin on really a good foot. We want to get off running. We want to make sure that we're ready to go. We want to make sure that our battery's fully juiced, that our tires are filled with air, that our engine's purring, that everything's running the way that it should, so that as we get started, we can jump start in this race together toward winning the prize. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We're in a race together as we join in ministry, and we want a good jump start in that race, that we will run it well. We need to get started with the proper jump start by the Holy Spirit empowering us in areas of our lives that maybe we've allowed to go kind of dead. You get some of those areas sometimes in your life, they kind of start to fizzle. Maybe eventually they die out altogether. Well, God wants to come in and He wants to jump start us, because thankfully God is in the business of jump starting things that have died. He does it all the time, and He wants to do it in our lives to give us a new vigor, a new passion for some of those areas of our lives that need to get going. And over the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to hook one end of these jumper cables to our hearts, and we're going to hook the other end of the jumper cables to God's Holy Spirit and ask Him to empower us in these different areas that we're facing. Is everybody with me? Okay, well, let's do it then. We're going to get started today by asking God to jumpstart our prayer life, our prayer life. One of the things that you're going to learn about Caroline and me is that we really think that prayer is important. We're firm believers in prayer. From our experience in life and in ministry, we've learned that it's essential to bathe absolutely everything that we do in life and in ministry in prayer. It's essential. If we want to have the full impact of Jesus in our lives and in our ministries, then we better be bathing everything in prayer. And the truth is that you'll spend a whole lot more time and energy on accomplishing a whole lot less if you try to jumpstart this thing without prayer. And it's just not worth it. You'll spin your wheels. You'll work 10 times better. You'll be 10 times more efficient. You'll work 10 times faster if you learn this lesson to bathe absolutely everything that we do in prayer. Everything that we do. So friends, how's your prayer life? Let's go one by one. No, just kidding. If your prayer life is soaring right now, awesome. Great, that's wonderful. What you can be doing is you can be praying for the prayer life of others that need a jump start, that need their prayer life to be reinvigorated. You can do that for those. For others, maybe your prayer is kind of like the Sahara Desert. It's become so dry that you could dump a pool of water on it. It would soak it up so fast and the ground wouldn't even get wet. Some of us might find ourselves there. And you know what? It's okay to say that today. if that's where you're at, because nobody's judging you. We've all been there. And if we can't be real about our lives with one another in the church, then why are we here at all? So it's okay to admit those things. Maybe some of your prayer lives are so parched that this idea of jump-starting your prayer is going to move you to the edge of your seat just a little bit this morning, because you're ready for this. You want something more than what you're currently experiencing in your relationship with God. If this is you, you already know that you need a jump-start in this area of your life. You already know it. My suspicion, however, this morning is that most of us in this room are probably in the place that I find myself in the most, where we're kind of more like a roller coaster. It kind of goes up and down, and there are times where we're soaring, and there are times where we're really dry and we're at the bottom, and everywhere in between, and it goes up and down like a roller coaster at Cedar Point. If that's where you find yourself today, then what my prayer for you and for me is that our jump start is that we move to a more consistent prayer life. That it's more consistent. There aren't so many dives, but we keep it up there, making it a part of every area of our life. Acts 2:42 says, we want to be an Acts 2 church. The first verse says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which we're going to do later today, and to
prayer.
The core of what the church was in the beginning, the core of what the church is meant to be today, is being wrapped up in the teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and of prayer. And prayer is the thing that we're focusing on this day as we ask God to give us a jump start. This morning, we're going to ask God to jump start our prayer lives by looking at five reasons why we should pray. Five reasons. The first reason is this. We should pray because praying for one another is an adventure that you just don't want to miss. You don't want to miss this adventure. Let me tell you a little bit about a story of the adventure of prayer that Mount Horeb United Methodist Church in Lexington, South Carolina faced as prayer became essential to them, as told by Dale Galloway in his book, Innovative Transitions. Listen to this story. Mount Horeb United Methodist Church was started approximately in 1811. So it's a church with a history. This is a church with a history. I looked at our plaque on the wall. Began as United Brethren Church in 1894. Been around for a long time. Well, that was the case with this church. And the church's attendance there has grown in 12 years from 80 to approaching 1,200 in 2007. When you ask them why there are so many stories about what's happening at Mount Horeb, the almost unanimous consensus is the role of prayer in the church. A sign in front of the building identifies Mount Horeb as a prayer-driven church. The church's van, trailer, newsletter, weekly worship bulletins, and many other identifiers make the same claim. Most important, the transformed lives and other miracles affirm that the God of answered prayer is indeed at work. The renewal of prayer began in 1993 with the appointment of a new pastor named Jeff Kersey. Jeff came with a focus on prayer and instituted a morning prayer meeting. The goal of the Friday morning prayer meeting was to pray for the ministries of the church more than for just a prayer list of specific people and needs. They met weekly at 6:45 a.m. When we started the morning prayer meetings, I didn't have any idea where they would lead us today, says Jeff. But I was burdened to pray for doors to be opened that seemed closed to be opened, for God to move in mighty ways. I felt a real partnership among the men who were praying with me. Through those times, God gave us the vision of moving mountains. Bob Whitaker agrees. He's been in the church for 25 years. As one of the congregation's most involved lay leaders, Bob has seen the church struggle from the point where the United Methodist Conference almost closed the church to the pace-setting role the church is playing today. There was a huge void of prayer in the church for many years, Bob comments. Then Jeff Kersey, who are now pastor, our new pastor, started instituting subtle changes in the role of prayer. Things started to happen. Prayer is powerful. We started growing almost immediately. During many of the worship services, one of the pastors or worship leaders will make a statement like this: we invite anyone who would like to come forward to the altar of prayer to do so at this time. Without fail, people participate. Some come alone, some come as couples, some come as a family. Some pray by themselves, others want the trained prayer ushers to intercede with them. Often the crowd in front of the altar is so large that it's two people deep. With so many people taking prayer for the ministries of the church so seriously, everyone seems to notice the impact, including the Pastor Jeff. I'm better, and so is my preaching, because I'm being saturated by prayer. Now that I know so many people are praying, it's made an incredible difference. See, folks, you can make me a better preacher if you'll pray for me. Mount Horeb United Methodist Church has learned that prayer is an adventure that they just don't want to miss. They don't want to miss it. And we can jumpstart our prayer lives by approaching prayer as an adventure. How many approach your prayer as an adventure? How many approach your prayer as a duty? There's a big difference, isn't there? We should be approaching our prayer time with God as a time that we're so excited because we're about to meet with our best friend. In the last two churches that we served in, we've been very intentional about prayer. I actually learned it a couple churches ago. I didn't know. I spent my first time in ministry in a church that we didn't talk about prayer much at all. And then I moved into a church that everything was bathed in prayer. And it set the pace for me for the rest of my life in ministry. To watch what that does. It's brought life in areas where death was knocking at the door. It's moved people, and God has moved in mighty ways because of the prayer happening in the churches. I don't have plans to make any big changes at Old Fort till we get to know each other, till we know what God's vision is for us and change. But I can tell you that I do know already that He desires for us to be meeting with Him in prayer. It's in the Bible, so I know that it's true. He desires that of you and of me. So there are three things I want to lead us in right off the bat to lead us corporately in prayer. I want to do three different things. The first is this. Sunday mornings at 7:45 a.m., I'm going to meet here with anybody who will meet with me to pray through this place. We're going to pray in the sanctuary. We're going to go down to the children's area, to the youth area, the fellowship area, the greeting area out here. We may even go out to the parking lot and around the church. And we're going to meet here to take about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to pray, to move through this place. Now, I know that 7:45 a.m. is not a typical Sunday morning time for you who come to 10 o'clock service. So that would be a big commitment for you. I'd like to have another one for us. There's not time for both, but maybe God is prodding you, calling you to make that commitment. Then you can go back home, go to bed for a while, and then you can come back in and join us in worship. It's essential that we're praying, and I'm committing to be here to do that even if I do it by myself. The second thing is this, is I want to institute a morning prayer time. Right now I'm picking Thursdays at 6:45 a.m. I am so willing to adjust that around the schedule of whoever wants to be involved. Early mornings aren't my favorite thing, but I'm picking an early time, hoping it catches people before work. But I will work with whoever wants to do it. But we're going to start this Thursday at 6:45 a.m. Bring your Bible. We're going to read a chapter of the Bible together, briefly discuss it, and then we're going to go to God in prayer over the ministry of what God wants to do with us in this church and in the region that we're in. Those are two of the things. The third thing I'm going to do is this. I'm going to have Janet, our secretary, produce prayer cards. They're going to go out to four families a day. And you'll receive that in the mail. You'll see what day I'm going to be praying for you, and I'm going to take that time to pray for your family and your needs specifically. And you can email those prayer requests to me if you have specific requests, or call me, or Facebook me, or whatever means you want to use. And if you don't give me specific prayer requests, that's fine. I'm going to pray for you anyway on those days. And I'm going to invite you on those days to be praying with me for God's work in His church. Because this is His church, right? So we're going to pray for God's work in his church. So those are three things right off the bat that are so important that we're going to start to jumpstart us in prayer as a church together. I'm still learning about the ministries in this church, and I'm still learning about the different prayer ministries. I know there's some already going. Lois leads our prayer email prayer chain. I started getting emails with prayer requests before we even came, once she got my email address. She does a great job with that. I know there are, as a group or something, I think meets one or two Sundays a month in the evening to pray. I know there's a couple that take a Sunday, one of their Sundays out a month, and they just go and pray through the whole service for us. Those are the things I've heard about. I'm not sure who all the people are all that are involved. But I'll learn more about the prayer ministries in the church. But I'm telling you that I want to commit myself at least to these three. To Sunday mornings, the morning through the week, and the prayer cards. Here's the second reason that we need to jumpstart our prayers, our prayer life. It's because God tells us that we ought to pray. God tells us we ought to pray. Jesus himself did it. If you look through his ministry, you'll see time and time he's getting alone with the Father. He's with his group, but he gets away from them. And he gets alone with the Father. He also prays with them. He believed it was worth his time to pray and to pray for others. The week before Jesus went to the cross, he pulls Peter aside. And he tells Peter that he's going to be going through some turbulent times in the next couple of weeks. And then Jesus tells Peter this in Luke 22:32. He says, "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And you know what, folks? The prayer worked. The prayer was answered. Peter emerged after denying Christ to be one who's inspired men and women all through the ages to inspire the other disciples, to build them back up, to beginning to do the mission that God had called them to. Jesus knew that his prayer was going to make a difference. Not only did Jesus pray for Peter, but he also prayed for you and for me. Did you know that? He specifically prayed for you and for me. In John chapter 17, verse 20, after Jesus has prayed for himself and he's prayed for the disciples, he has a prayer for you and me. Listen to this. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message." That's you and me. He was praying for you and me at that time. "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Now think about this just for a moment. If you're a believer, Jesus prayed for you all that time, and his prayer reaches all the way through the ages to where you're sitting right now in that pew, where he prayed that your faith would be strengthened, that you would be able to be a part of helping others to know him, to believe in him, to find him, and to follow him. He prayed that your strength would be sustained. That's awesome. That's awesome. When he should have been, in our minds, praying for himself because of what he knew he's about to go through, he focuses on you and me and prays for us. The followers of Jesus who want to be like Jesus, who want to serve like Jesus, to them this is an irresistible reason to jumpstart our prayer life. Because Jesus did it. And he told us that we ought to do it. Here's the third reason for jumpstarting our prayer together, our prayer life. It's because praying is the purest expression of love that we can give. It's the purest expression of love we can give. When I was in college, me and some friends started doing this early morning prayer group before we went to class or went to work, whatever, as we were doing. It wasn't a big group, but a few of us got together every week to pray early in the morning. What we do, we come into the church that we were in, and we come up front to where the kneeling rail was, and we just sit there on the kneeling rail or in the pew, and we just talk about kind of what was going on in our lives. But we didn't spend too much time on that because we didn't want to get caught up just talking and chatting. We wanted to talk to God. So we talk a little bit about what was going on, then we turn to that kneeling rail, and we get on our knees, and we pray about what was happening and for each other and for the church we were part of. And we'd spend that time in prayer. And friends, I'm telling you, it was such a beautiful part of my faith journey. It's a part of my faith journey that I hold very dear to me because it was such a special time that connected all of us together in such a beautiful way, in a way that discussion itself could never, ever do. One of my dear friends from that time, I'll call him Don. Don's not his real name, but that's what we'll call him today. Don's got to be one of the sweetest, gentlest guys you would ever meet. Don struggled a bit, however, with socializing, with expressing his thoughts clearly as he would talk to you in a normal day discussion. But friends, when Don prayed, something came over him. Something happened. His words just fluently roll out of his mouth. He was like a great orator. I love to listen to Don pray. It was an amazing thing because he was connected with God and he was connected with his brothers and sisters in Christ as we were meeting together in that time. It was beautiful. Today, Don is a United Methodist pastor. There's another friend who was in that group. I'll call him Aaron. Years later, after we'd kind of broken apart, we'd all gone our separate ways, we'd moved away to different places, Aaron kind of, his life began to unravel. He allowed his walk with Christ to become twisted, filled with all kinds of deceit and lies. He ended up betraying friends, betraying trust with friends. He got caught in a big fat lie and cheating and stealing. And he came to a low moment in his life, so low that he tried to take his own life by drinking Drano. He forever marred his mouth and has a speech impediment for the rest of his life. Now, friends, I hadn't been involved with Aaron in quite some time, but I knew that he was in a hospital in Dayton. I was living in Cincinnati at the time doing youth ministry, and I traveled up there to see him. And because of that relationship that we had together in prayer, we could touch each other's souls again. And I could bring Jesus to him again in this time that he needed it. And he knew that I still loved him and that I cared for him and I was able to be here there for him in that moment. Now, we've not stayed closely connected over the years. We're Facebook friends, but I can tell you today that he's in a successful job. He's married. He's an avid bicyclist, and he seems to be doing really well in life. But it was because of that time we had together in prayer that we could connect in his time of need. What a wonderful thing it is when brothers and sisters in Christ can love each other, can be in prayer together, because God knits our hearts together in a way that only he can do, that brings us together in a beautiful thing. It's a remarkable thing. It's a glue that can hold us together. Here's a fourth reason to jumpstart our prayer life. It's because God can use the experience of praying to transform your attitude and maybe even transform your relationships. Jesus doesn't only say pray for those you love. He doesn't say just pray for those who are on your side. Pray for all your supporters. Pray for all your cheerleaders. Pray for people that are on your side of life and any of your thoughts or anything. He doesn't say that. He says in Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We're supposed to pray for those who persecute us. We should be praying for those who persecute us as much, if not more, as we do pray for those who support us. Now, I want you to think of the people in your life who you would classify in the enemy category. Now, if they're sitting next to you, don't look at them right now. Don't point them out across the room. That's not why I want you to think of them. But think of the people that you would put in your enemy category. It may be the guy who's trying to run you out of business, who wants to drive you into bankruptcy. It may be a former spouse. It may be a parent or a person who's blocking your road to advancement or a career. It may be somebody who's hurt you very deeply or very badly. Jesus says that we need to be praying for these people. We need to be praying that God will bless them, that God will sustain them, and that they'll be able to come to see their need for Jesus as well. When you do that, you're going to see that your attitude begins to change. your heart begins to soften, because you can't be praying for somebody in that way for long without your heart becoming more tender toward them. When you pray for those who oppose you, you're going to begin to experience this release. You're going to start to be able to release some of the bitterness, some of the resentment, some of the unforgiveness, some of those things that's been poisoning your life, that's been impeding your spiritual life. Some of that stuff is going to begin just to drain off, to roll, to drop right off of your life, and you're going to let go of your end of the rope and the tug of war and say, I'm not playing any longer. You can tug all you want, but I'm done. I'm not tugging back. I'm going to pray for you instead. You might heal some relationships. You might see some reconciliation happening in your life. You will definitely see a transformation happen in your own heart. A year or so after Caroline and I were married, she began a new job in an orthodontics office. Caroline's an orthodontic assistant by trade, but she kind of left that behind for now as we started having kids, realizing that's where she needed to be, and she wanted to pour her life into our kids. I appreciate that. I'm so glad she's doing that. She may be an orthodontic assistant again someday. Matter of fact, our kids' orthodontist in Cincinnati tried to hire her about 3 times. And she may go back to that someday. We don't know. But we had just been married about a year, and she went into this new office, and things started off pretty tough there. It was pretty rough because, well, Caroline, she rarely has any problem at all getting along with anybody. You're going to learn that about her as you know her. It's one of her gifts, is to connect with people. But there was this woman in the office that as hard as she tried, she just couldn't connect with this lady. In Caroline's estimation, this woman was probably the rudest person that she'd ever met. Caroline would pass her in the morning at her desk. She'd say, hi, good morning, how are you today? And this woman wouldn't even respond to her. Sometimes she wouldn't even look her in the face as she went by. Woman would also make these snide remarks about her, and behind her back and in front of her. And it appeared that she was talking about Caroline behind her back, which she probably was doing now that we know more of the situation. Let me tell you, friends, there were so many nights that Caroline would come home and she was frustrated and confused and angry and hurt. And on many occasions, she was ready just to walk. She's ready just to quit this job, to move on to something else. And I was ready to back her in that whenever she said go. She was out of there because I didn't like seeing this kind of stuff happen to her spirit. But instead of quitting, we both felt led to begin praying. And we started praying for that work situation, praying for this rude person in particular. And soon after we began to pray, God began to respond. Caroline was at work, and she went into the bathroom. And when she was in there, she saw this reflection of a rainbow on a shower curtain. You see, this office was in an old, beautiful home, and there was still a shower and shower curtain in there. And this reflection of this rainbow on the shower curtain, there was some beautiful, what, like stained glass windows in the building in different places, and the reflection could come through, and this rainbow was there on that shower curtain. Now, that was pertinent to her because in our relationship before we got married, when we were trying to make some decisions about our future, where we were going as a couple, I gave her a picture of Noah's Ark. And on there was the rainbow, and there was a statement on the bottom that said, God keeps his promises. That rainbow on that and the story of the ark marked for those people from God that he would never destroy the earth by flood again. Now, we've maybe questioned that in the last 10 days. Since we've had rain every day we've been here. But God says he'll never destroy. It's his promise by flood again. When Caroline saw that rainbow, she knew that God wasn't ready for her to leave that job. Not yet. You may say, one little rainbow did that. Come on, one little rainbow. Well, here's the thing. It wasn't just one rainbow. From that day on, Caroline began to see reflection of a rainbow everywhere. Every day, somewhere in the office, it might be on the desk, it might be on the floor, it might be on the wall, but there was one every single day she would see that reflection of a rainbow, restoring to her God's hope that God doesn't forget his promises. It all climaxed one day when the woman that Caroline was struggling with made a snide comment from the other room, and finally she'd about had all she could take. Caroline came in. She was really ready to verbally let this woman have it when she saw a reflection of a rainbow right across her lips. Right on that mouth that had been saying all those nasty things all that time about her. And all Caroline could do was kind of laugh inside as she felt God's Spirit say to her that He's at work here. He's at work here. And someday, it was like He was saying, I'm going to use those lips that have been saying all those nasty things to bring glory to Me. To make a long story short, Caroline and I continued to pray, and Caroline then, whose attitude started to change from God, she began to pour love and kindness onto this woman. In return to all of her rudeness, she would just pour back love and kindness, and God began to break down barriers. And friends, Caroline had the privilege to lead this person into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? By the time that she left that place, this was her best friend there. She wrote her this letter that explained why she was so angry, because what she saw in Caroline was something she wanted, which was Jesus. They were doing lunches regularly. I haven't met them a couple times for lunch. It was an amazing thing. Now, I know it may not be easy for some of you to pray for someone who you look at as your enemy. That can be really difficult, especially if they've really hurt you. Especially if they're still hurting you. But if you do pray for them, it will transform your life, and it might even transform that relationship. The fifth, final reason that we need to jumpstart our prayer life is because prayer works. It works. Simply put, praying is a good investment of our time. Our prayers really do cause God to work. You can see it all through the Bible. Jesus says in John 16:24, until now you have not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. He says in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. One example in the Bible of prayer working is in Exodus chapter 32. God's about fed up with the Israelites at this point. I mean, time and time and time and time again, they turn their backs on God. This time they've taken this gold, they've melted it, they've molded it together to make this calf, to make this idol to worship, because God's not moving fast enough for them. So they turn their backs on God, and they're worshiping this idol, and God has about had enough. He's ready to destroy them, and Moses comes to intercede for them, and he prays for them. And you know what happens? God doesn't destroy them, because God moves through our prayers. Our prayers work. There's example after example of how praying for others works today as well. And let me tell you something. I've been going to hospitals to meet with people before their surgeries to pray with them for years now. And not once, not one single solitary time has a doctor or an anesthesiologist or a surgeon or an assistant or a nurse ever said, no, don't do that. Don't pray, whatever you do. We got this thing covered. We're going to do this. We don't need your prayers. Keep that stuff out of here. It's never happened. Do you know why? I believe because for most of them, in their heart of hearts, they know that it helps. They know that it might just work, and they'll take whatever they can get. And sometimes they'll even join in with you when you pray. I believe they believe in it at some level. Now hear me. I know that there are probably some here today who are a bit disillusioned about prayer. You would say to me, you'd say, Mark, you know what? I've tried it. And nothing happens. I've prayed and it doesn't work. I'm still sick. I'm still out of a job. I'm still lonely. I'm still hurting. I've tried this prayer thing. You can say all you want, but it really doesn't work. If prayer works, why doesn't it work for me? Hear me. Hear me this morning. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on God, because He's not going to give up on you. You keep on praying. I'll readily admit to you that God's ways don't always make sense to us, and His timing doesn't always make sense to us, and He doesn't always answer our prayers in the way and the time that we think He should or that we want Him to. But listen to me, He's good. And He's good all the time, and He always knows what's best, and things at some point will make sense to you, even if it's in the heaven ever after, when it all comes together and you see the whole picture of what's happening. Don't you dare quit. Keep praying, because it does work. Don't give up. There are two reactions we might have to this message today. Three reactions we might have to this message today. When we're talking about jump-starting our prayer life, the first one might be, we may say, this is for me, God. I need my prayer life jump-started. I want to respond today, God. I'm ready. Show me what to do. And if that's where you find yourself, then here's what you do. You pick out a time, you put it on your schedule, and you meet with God in that time, and don't let anything else interfere. Make an appointment with the King. You have an appointments all through your day, and if it's an important appointment, you don't cancel it for anything. This is the most important appointment that you can have. So set it up and meet with God regularly, even if it's just for 5 minutes in the beginning. But maybe God is prodding you beyond that. He's wanting you to jumpstart your prayer to come and meet with me in one of these prayer times on Sunday morning or on Thursday morning or whatever time we find is the best to do that. I'm going to be here. I hope there'll be somebody here with me to do it. Here's the second response, reaction you may have to jumpstarting this prayer. It might be that you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I need a jumpstart that starts way before the prayer. I'm just not sure I even know Jesus. I mean, I've heard about Jesus. Maybe you've been here a long time, but you could readily say that in your heart, you know, I'm just not really sure. I'm not sure He's really there. I'm not sure that I'm really experiencing Him in the kind of way that you're talking about today. And if you're there today, I can tell you that you can begin that relationship so simply. There's no formula. There's no magic. It's just simply coming to say and saying, Jesus, here I am. Here I am, and I want to give my life to You today. I need You to forgive me because I've screwed some things up. I'm not perfect. My life is dry. I'm ready to experience something more. I'm giving myself to You today. And if that's where you find yourself, you can say anything like that that represents your heart to Him, and God's going to meet you right where you're at. You know, and there's a third reaction you might have to this message today. It might be that you would say, Mark, you know what? I hear this about prayer, but right now, more than anything, I need to be prayed for. I got this stuff going on in my life right now. I'm hurting, or I've not been able to find work, or I've been sick, or I've got this relationship that's broken, and I just need somebody to pray for me. Well, one thing that we want you to know is that we try to practice when someone comes to us and says, Mark or Caroline, will you pray for me for this? We just want to stop with you right then and do it right then. I don't want to say to you, I'm going to pray for you, and then walk away and forget to do that. So I try right in that moment to say, well, can I just pray for you now? And then we'll do that together. And that's what I want to offer to you this morning. You might need prayer for something today. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper, communion together. We're going to be coming forward to stations to receive that. I'm going to stand right here in the middle. And if you just need to be prayed for something, you just stop there. I'll turn the microphone off. Nobody's going to hear. Just tell me briefly what your concern is. I'll put a hand on your shoulder and just say a prayer for you. So I invite you to do that today. I want to pray for you if you have a need. Okay? Let's pray now as we prepare for that time. Dear God, I want to acknowledge Your goodness. You are good all the time. And we don't always know that. Sometimes our life makes it look like You're not, but it doesn't change the fact that You are. And God, if there's a single soul in this room this morning who's still not there with You yet, they're still trying to figure it out, and they're saying, I want to take the next step today. I want to ask Jesus in my heart. I just want to give them an easy prayer to lead to help them, just to simply say to you themselves now, God, here I am. Forgive me of all the stuff. Come in my life and lead me from this day forward. Jump start me in a new life with you. God, help us to be open to you today and how you're calling us to be moved in our prayer lives. We want to be jump started by you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus prayed. And the night that he met with his disciples on that last supper they had, he spent time praying with them. After they had that supper, he would go that night to the Garden of Gethsemane. He would ask them to stay awake and to pray with him because he knew what was happening next, that his body was going to be broken and that his blood was going to be shed for each of them, that they could walk in a very personal relationship with him, in a life where they can have a prayer life, that he's going to be right there with them through accepting himself onto them. Today I want to invite you to come to receive, to tear off a piece of the bread, to dip it in the cup, and to remember what he did for you individually and what he did for us as the body of Christ. Will those who are serving come forward to distribute the elements? Go to your stations. I invite you forward. If you need prayer, I'll pray for you and to receive the bread and the juice. Isn't it, it just struck me, isn't it amazing that when we talk about the body and the blood of Jesus, we talk about the fact that his body was broken for us. And doesn't that only make sense because we're all broken? Doesn't it? He was broken that we could be healed. Yeah. I just challenge you on this day that you would be seeking God out in your own prayer life, to where he's calling your heart to be jump-started in this area of prayer and other areas as well. Where is he trying to move you forward in your next days? Maybe he's jump-starting you to join me in prayer this week, and I'll be glad to meet with you. Maybe he's calling you in other ways, but what I ask is as he leads, as he prods your heart, move with him. Move with him. Thank you, Jesus.